like the
woman
I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen. Greetings, beloved friends. Welcome to the Divine Experience. And I am your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And let me give you the phone number to call into 818-688-5670, 818-688-5670. And you just heard our guest speaker for today singing this very nice melodious voice, Mr. Edmund Gibbs, and I will introduce him in a second. So we're on location today at the Mansfield SDA Church in Mansfield, Texas. This is the Mansfield Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you can connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Miss Divine Intrigue, that's my host name, or twitter.com/ Dr. Dacia Smith, or you can email me at missdivineintrigue@gmail.com. And you can also sign up on my blog, divineintrigue.net, for our spiritual community seminar in Memphis at the local library. You can read about more information and send me an email to sign up. Again, it is all free, and there will be a complimentary brunch provided as well. So, and praise reports, had a wonderful past weekend at church. I got a chance to teach the junior class here. That's the class I taught before I moved back to Memphis, and the regular teacher could not come. Something came up, so I asked the Sabbath School Superintendent Beverly, then can I step in, and it just felt so natural and so right, so that was wonderful to be with the young people again. And potluck went well. I got to sit with the Belizeans, my spiritual sister Norma and some friends that she's just met who are also from Belize like her. And we were just talking about health consciousness and awareness, and it was just a great time of fellowship. And on Sunday, there was the adventurers meeting I sat in on, and also the women's ministry meeting and a health evangelism class. So Much has been going on, been very busy. As for prayer requests, please keep my family in prayer. We are in bereavement right now over the loss of my paternal grandmother. She was 81 years old and passed on Monday morning. And she went into cardiac arrest and could not be revived. So please do keep us in prayer. I'm grieving for both sides. My parents are divorced, but they were married for 36 years, and so my mother and the rest of us, we've also lost a matriarch of the family as well. Miss Addie Mae Smith was dearly loved, and we'll be having her wake and funeral this weekend. Also, the tropical storm Debbie, I think most of the warnings and so forth have pretty much passed or subsided, but I do know that there is still some concern, so we want to pray for those who are in the vicinity or area where that can be problematic. And also for job needs and financial needs of those. We have a lot of college graduates and high school graduates looking for summer jobs, and people beyond that age just looking for employment, so we want to keep them in prayer. And there's a need for the gospel to be preached to all throughout the world, and that's what we're going to be talking with our special guest here today in a moment. So let's have an opening prayer. Father God, right now we come before you, Lord, and I would just pray, Lord, that this particular show be an incredible blessing to all those who are listening who have a desire to increase knowledge and are thirsty and passionate for your word, Lord God, that they would be equipped and empowered through the Holy Spirit to go out and begin to learn more and guide others into a relationship with you. We are very thankful that Mr. Edmund Gibbs is here to share his insights and what he has learned in his training. In your son Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And before we get started, I introduce Mr. Gibbs. I do want to acknowledge some people of influence in Memphis. At Longview Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is where I was baptized into the Adventist faith, we have a prison ministries team, or there is a prison ministries team that is very active. And I want to say I admire and commend the efforts of this group of people so much. Prison ministry, I mean, all ministries are a calling, but prison ministry, you really must be very bold and courageous for the Lord and just know, have the faith that the Lord is going to protect you and give you influence in the lives of these people who many are just, you know, distraught and you know, feel a sense of hopelessness because of their conditions. And those individuals I would like to acknowledge are Leroy Tate, Adivi McKinney, Leroy Wilburn, Jerry Wilson, Mary Wilson, Robert Dabney Jr., Donnie Duncan, Virginia Hewlett, Deborah James, Troy Jackson, and Janet Jackson, not the celebrity, Janet Jackson, though. And I just want to say that I keep them in prayer and keep them uplifted as often as I can, because I know it definitely takes a sense of perseverance and a calling and anointing to go out into the field in that particular way. And one of their guiding scriptures that they follow, Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they truly do believe that they will be heard and be a powerful influence for God. Now we're going to introduce our special guest for today, Mr. Edmund Gibbs. He's a Bible worker currently in the Mansfield Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome, Mr. Gibbs. And before we kind of get started, if you want to give a little background information about yourself, like where you're from originally and your schooling, and if you had any prior career aspiration, and then, you know, what led you into Bible work as a profession?
Well, my name is Edmund Gibbs. I was born in Palm Springs, California. Pretty much grew up there my whole life. Was very active in my church there. I grew up in a Baptist church, very active in the choir, very active with the music there, very active working with the youth there. And my aspirations were to go into music. So when I left high school, I went to UC Irvine, and I was a vocal performance and trombone studies major. I ended up just switching just to vocal, but didn't quite go all the way through my degree program, because at the time I was actually working with an R&B group with my brother, and we were about to be signed in that to a record contract. We had people looking at us, looking to set up a contract and sign us in, but then the group broke up, and there were some situations that had gone into my life that happened that moved me out of the church realm and into the worldly realm, and, you know, I was working as a bouncer and all these different things. But when the Lord brought me out of the world and brought me into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there was a strong sense of get to work. You know, you can't just sit on the pew. You know, let's get to work. Time is short. People need to hear the message. And the three angels' message must be spread abroad. So I took myself, upon myself, the Great Commission, which is given to all Christians, to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but to continue to teach them everything that God has told us. We have to continue that teaching. That means we have to go out, we have to bring them in, and basically the cycle of evangelism, to go out into the world, to plant the seeds, to break that fallow ground so that the seed can be put into the ground, that we can bring them into a harvest meeting, like a evangelistic series or a prophecy seminar, and then as a church to continue to nurture them and to continue to train those who have been nurtured to train them to continue the cycle. So we see that the evangelistic cycle is in Scripture. And what I learned about training was there was a statement by Ellen G. White from Review and Herald, May 29, 1888, that talks about the value of a well-trained worker. It says, God calls for laborers, but he wants those who are willing to submit their wills to his and who will teach the truth as it is in Jesus. This is what got me. One worker who has been trained and educated for the work, who is controlled by the Spirit of Christ, will accomplish far more than 10 laborers who go out deficient in knowledge and weak in the faith. One who works in harmony with the counsel of God and in unity with the brethren will be more efficient to do good than 10 will be who do not realize the necessity of depending upon God and of acting in harmony with the general plan of the work. So when the Lord put it on my heart to say, you need to get trained, there was a lady at my church who, her son, who had passed away years ago, had went to AFCO, which is the Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism, and the change that happened in him during that training. And even though he died shortly after, the life that was changed was not only his, but every person he came into contact with, and mine also, because his story and how those at that training center rallied around him, the Lord said, that's where you need to go. So just to add to that story, sometimes training can be expensive, but if God wants you to go, he will make the way. You know, somebody told me this. He said, if it's in his plan, it's in his budget.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll take care of it. So there was no way I was going to come up with $6,000 to go to a training center. But the Lord made a way. He provided.
Yeah.
He made the provision for me. So.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So would you say that your decision to go into a Bible work, become committed to that ministry as opposed to the original pursuit
mm-hmm.
of a secular career in music, would you say that that is definitely God's will for your life, that he set it up for you to go take that route, go down that path?
Absolutely. I mean, if I was to go into more detail about what the Lord delivered me from, when I say I was in the world, I was deep in the world. I was drinking and doing all those things which were considered worldly. If you were affluent in the world, these were things that were expected of you. These were your rewards for being in this part of the world and being in this life. But when the Lord delivered me from all that, I just said, I just want to do what you want me to do. I want to be a vessel to be used, you know. I equate it to being a violin. See, when you have like a Stradivarius violin is the most prized violin of ever. It's one of the most expensive violins in the world. And this Stradivarius, who created this violin, was a very good player. But every violin he played, he would play it. And to make sure it made the right sound. But if that violin became chipped, broken, he would fix it. See, we all are violins. We are unique and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
And each of us, when the Lord has repolished us, set our strings right, when he plays beautiful music with us. And when you hear a true violinist play, At the end of the song, who gets the praise?
Mm-hmm.
The violin or the violinist? And see, that was my motivation, was that everything that I do, that he lived through me and that he would get the glory, the honor, and the praise. So I know that I wanted to share my faith.
Right.
And when I was sharing my faith without the training, I was losing friends.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to approach people. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the science. And I mean, I use that word accurately, the science of soul winning.
Sure.
Because
it,
there is a
process,
there's a method to it. When I read that statement earlier, saying that one worker, when they're trained and educated in the right way, when they have that method, when that becomes second nature to them, when God can use them in any situation, you can walk up to a door, knock on it, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and talk to a total stranger, get them into conversation, and watch as the Holy Spirit just lets them know that they can bear their heart to you, and you can lead them to Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you don't miss any part of your former life at all. There's no part of it that you still desire or have a longing for in any way. Jesus Christ has completely transformed your mind and your heart.
Everything is different. You know, when he comes in, he makes everything new.
Right.
Though I have looked back into my past and seen that, you know, there were good times, but I was not on the path that God wanted
right.
me to be on.
Right.
I realize there's a statement that, you know, every time that Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future,
mm-hmm.
because he always will bring up, like, well, you could have done this, and you could have had that, you know. You're in the wrong camp. You need to be over here with me. But I know who I believe.
Right,
you know?
Right. And it's very interesting you should say that, because I think about the stories of fallen celebrities like Whitney Houston and others, who Michael Jackson and so forth, who have this amazing talent that was given to them by
mm-hmm.
God, because he gives all talents, but not used for his glory.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are very unfortunate, you know, indications of what can ultimately happen, you
yes.
know, the demise when you don't put God, and, you know, the Bible speaks to this, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, everything and beyond what we can imagine will be added to us. So I really like the fact that you say that, you know, regardless as to what the glamour and glitz that you may see on TV or in the media or whatever, you know that the blessing and the prize that God has for you far outweighs
mm-hmm.
what anything in the world could offer.
Yeah.
So how can Christians, we're talking a little bit more about the training, how can Christians who desire to more proactively share the gospel of Christ and testify to how the Lord has changed their lives for the better begin with this Bible work process? Because I know my full-time profession is a school counselor, a public
mm-hmm.
school counselor, and, you know, I do have a desire to be trained so that I can be effectively used to the work of God, because a couple years ago, right here in Mansfield, I was renting a house, and some ladies came by from a Baptist church nearby,
mm-hmm.
two ladies, and they were passing out their literature, and I got into conversation with them, and I was passionate because I just joined the Adventist Church in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But I lost them, I believe, because I did not have that methodical approach, and I'm sure I sounded kind of scattered and
yeah.
maybe just a little too, you know, hyped up about it, maybe a little too aggressive, I'm not sure. But the point is I didn't have a plan of action.
Yeah.
So, you know, how concretely can people go about whether they want to do it full-time or incorporate it into just their, you know, work with the church? Where do they start?
Well, there are many different training schools. Like, there's Arise, there's Emmanuel, there's Life, there's in Arizona, there's Souls West, there's Mission College. There's many different places where you can get training. There's a new school that just opened up with Neil Nedley and Don McIntosh, and they have satellites on the East Coast called Health. And it actually teaches the medical missionary, gives you the medical side and the missionary, so you're able to give Bible studies and be able to, you know, meet their needs. Because it really is about Christ's method, you know. And I will read this this statement from Ministry of Healing, page 143. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then, only then, he bade them follow me. So that's what these training facilities or these schools will teach you, is Christ's method. Because a lot of us go in and we don't, because we don't have this sympathy or the empathy that Christ had. We go in the wrong spirit. We go in trying to prove our point rather than winning the confidence of the person we're talking with. See, that's, we get a little overzealous and we don't work in that way. But, you know, since there's so many different training schools, and each Bible worker, if they're working at their church, should be able to teach a training in some sort of evangelism style, be it friendship evangelism. I know that AFCO does an AFCO to go, which is a 10-day program. If you can't set up for a 4-month program, you don't have the time or the money to set aside, you can do a 10-day program, which pretty much condenses it into a 10-day program. There's many online trainings that you can do. Dwayne Lemon has put out a really good training set of videos. You can get off his website. I think it's PTH Ministries, Preaching, Teaching, and Healing. So, and you can get all that information, and you can watch and just let the Holy Spirit be your teacher, you know. Because all workers are doing is sharing what the Holy Spirit has given them.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You know.
And, well, speaking of which, I want to talk, get back to Dwayne Lemon again in just a moment, because I've been going through the health evangelism classes here at Mansfield since I've been here visiting, and he's got some powerful, profound information to share. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk a little bit with you about the challenges and rewards of this whole process. Clearly, there are far more rewards than challenges, but just like with any work that we're doing, being soldiers for Christ, there are some challenges some uphill kind of struggles and difficulties that just go along with what we call, you know, the growth process and so forth. So talk to me a little bit about those and also, you know, the success stories as well.
Challenges, you will learn to develop a thick skin. For the simple fact that you'll go up to the door and you'll knock on the door and you're so ready to, you know, share and have somebody just shut you down, just slam a door in your face or cuss you out, you know, and these things will happen because when you are Bible working, you are on the front line of the great controversy.
Right.
I mean, you're on the front line. I mean, it's,
and Satan's going to attack
you. He's going to attack you. If you're looking to be comfortable and have a rich life, do not consider Bible work, because Bible work doesn't pay that much. You will definitely be tested on your stewardship of the money that you have, and your faith will be tested when things like your car breaks down 4 times trying to get to an assignment, you know. Be it as it may, you know, you may have many different issues that will come up, but you will definitely draw closer in your walk with Christ because of those challenges, because they build that character, you know. To let you know how rewarding next to the challenges, because there are always going to be challenges
right
in everything that you do. But the reward, and I'll read this statement. It says, it is not preaching that is the most important when doing evangelistic work. It is the house-to-house work, reasoning for the word, explaining the word. It is those workers who follow the methods that Christ followed who will win souls for their hire. And that's from Gospel Workers, page 468. This is why the challenges kind of just fall away. Because you know how important your work is. You know, yeah, because my job is not to make Seventh-day Adventists. My job is to go into a situation and make eternal friends. How do you make eternal friends? You introduce them to your eternal friend.
Yeah.
You build that relationship. You build that trust. And you help them out because the Holy Spirit will prompt you when it's appropriate to say this, when it's appropriate not to say this, when it's appropriate to do certain things for that person, you know? Because when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you can't go wrong. It's when you have those doubts and you follow those doubts. That's when you start moving away. So the challenge is a lot is mostly your personal challenges, which is mine was that my prayer life had to increase. My daily devotion had to increase.
Mm-hmm.
My knowledge of not just the Bible, but also the statements in the spirit of prophecy to understand the counsel that has been given to us, you know, because the work that we do, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. And there's a lot of people who fail to put on the whole armor of God every day. You know, and these are habits that have to be formed.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you want to do, experience in your life, and the Lord is leading you to do it, I say go forward in it. And we must go forward on our knees in prayer. So I think the biggest challenge is you may be.
Yeah, being a vessel for God, to me, there is nothing more rewarding or fulfilling in life than to be used by Him. Back to Dwayne Lemon for just a minute, and I have really been very enlightened by the videos that I've seen thus far as his training sessions. What I really like is this parallel he draws between the biblical work and health, or even more generally, just understanding people and what people go through. And we know in this society, and he's actually in another country making these videos and what that's seen, but we know worldwide, but especially in America, the health crisis that is going on right now with obesity and diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol and all these other cancers and you know, rafting through bodies and so forth. What have you drawn any particular insights or tips for this? Has the health platform been one that you've had to draw upon in any of your encounters or interactions with people? Or?
Well, you know, on both scales, and on the home front and on out in the mission field, you're going to come across so many people who, if you can meet their physical needs, the fact that they may be suffering, they may think they're fine, but they're suffering with diabetes, or they're mm-hmm. suffering with this, you know, they have migraine headaches, they have bad circulation, these things that can simply be changed if they change getting up in the morning and doing a walk, having fresh air, changing slight things in their diet, that can clear up their mind, that they will be open to spiritual.
Right.
You know, it's hard, and I've met so many people, and I mean, who will say that they're fine, that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm watching them sit there and murder themselves with the cigarettes, you know? And I'm going, wow, I used to think that way. I used to be that person, you know? I used to be thinking I had
that
everything
mindset.
Was together. That mindset that it's all I have it all together. It's Lord will forgive me. But the thing is, you're cutting off the ability to have that spiritual, that deep spiritual connection with God.
That victory.
That
really.
Victory, too. Because to have that connection when you're putting these poisons in your body, when you don't know how to eat correctly,
mm-hmm.
when you don't know how to exercise or these things. And it's very important that we as Bible workers, as members of the church, should be able to share that information to people. Because once they have that information and they see that you genuinely care about them, their health and their welfare, then you will have their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, you know what? What I've been sharing with you all came from the Word of God. And
Amen.
Just and when they can see that, all those things that have made them feel better, have cleared their mind, that have cleared their arteries, have given them health, that God wants them to prosper and be in good health, then the right arm of the gospel has now brought them in to the gospel
mm-hmm.
message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can say, hey, let's open the Word, and I'm going to show you where all these principles are. That they've always been there, but we
right.
may have never seen them.
Right.
And
right.
that's how you can gain someone's confidence. You know.
Wow, that is truly incredible. And I know that you, how old are you?
I'm 33.
33. And so at a very young,
sow in tears,
mm-hmm.
but we will reap in joy.
Right.
You know, there's going
about following God's direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, lastly, and there are many people out there, many Christians, very honest and sincere in their hearts, who, for various reasons, they might be enamored with their pastors or. And you know, it's so disheartening to say some don't even read
mm-hmm.
the Bible for themselves and may say, oh, because of work or different other sorts of obligations, but it may not even get opened up until church, you know, service. And this is where, you know, Satan, you know, it cripples us because we don't have, as you said, that knowledge base to go forward and really share and draw others in. So the training that you're talking about, and whether it's the 10-day, if someone can't afford the extended mm-hmm. 4 months or whatever the case may be, I do believe and agree with you that it is important that we as Christians invest in that because this is a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
This knowledge of the Word of God, that is a very precious gift treasure. Why do you think all Christians should want to become Bible workers in some form or manner, whether they choose it as a full-time occupation or in addition to, you know, their daytime profession or their primary profession, but, you know, to make it a priority in life to be equipped with the knowledge of God?
Well, Matthew 28:18-20, which talks about the Great Commission. That commission is not just for pastors. You know, in the book of in Peter tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood,
mm-hmm.
which means that we are all priests and princes and princesses in the kingdom. It is our duty as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Christ, to spread the gospel throughout the world. It is our job. You know, it should be our primary thing. It should be our primary goal to save as many souls as possible, to spread the three angels' message, because there are so many people that will perish because we were inactive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. some people forget that we have a responsibility as Christians.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if people want to make excuses of why they don't have time to study the Word, I would go in prayer
mm-hmm.
and say, Lord, I know that it is something that you want me to do. So, Father, you make the time in my schedule. And trust me, when you put your schedule and you lay your plans before God, there will always be time
right.
to read the Word, to pray. And it says that if you pray, if you take the time to pray, if you take the time to have that devotion, the time that you think you may be wasting, you will have more time. Your tasks will be done faster.
Mm-hmm.
They will be more efficient because you are now in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm. And the will of God.
The will of God. And God will make sure that all the things that you need to get done will get done.
All the things that you need to get done. That's the operative word.
Yes.
Need to get done.
So if you take if you put him first, just like with your tithe, it's all his. But if you give him his first, he'll stretch everything else out.
Right.
So if you give him his time first, if we go and have that daily bread, that early manna early in the morning, then we will have sustenance, spiritual sustenance to last us throughout the day. We'll be able to receive what the Lord wants us to do. We put our minds in the right. I'm going to read this prayer that came out of the spirit of prophets is, Lord, help me to do my best. Teach me how to do better work. Give me energy and cheerfulness. Help me to bring into my service the loving ministry of the Savior. This should be our daily prayer. We should consecrate ourselves to God in the morning. It should be our first duty. Because when we're in that mindset, Lord, use me. Now, if you're at work, say you're working at a job, and somebody's going through something, you're in the right spirit to be able to share the right thing.
To be used by God, to be a blessing to that individual. Wow, that's awesome, awesome. And I just wanted to share this scripture verse that goes along with what Edmund was just saying, Romans 1:16-17.
Mm-hmm.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we want to thank you, Mr. Gibbs, for not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, stepping out there on faith and in faith in so many different ways and in so many different places and circumstances and situations, just relying upon the Holy Spirit, because truly that is all we need to be successful in this realm. And we're going to get ready to close. I hope that this show has been a blessing. Certainly, has been a blessing to me. I've been enlightened in a number of different matters as well, you know, regarding Bible work and training. So I encourage you to pursue one of the options that Mr. Gibbs has mentioned for your own spiritual growth, as well as to then be able to be a blessing to someone else. He's going to actually sing the first verse of Let Your Heart Be Broken, because we're talking about a brokenness of spirit and a surrender to the Holy Spirit. This, again, is something for everybody. I don't care if you're a high-powered attorney or if you are a custodial worker in a school. If you believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, then you should be a Bible worker. You should be in the field in some way, sharing the gospel. So he's going to sing for us.
Let your heart be broken for a world in need. Be the mouth that hungers, soothe the wounds that bleed. Give the cup of water and the loaf of bread. Be the hands of Jesus serving in His stead.
Thank you so much again, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tell us about this show today that you have heard, and to listen in and to gain some knowledge about how to pursue Bible work for the glory of God. Thank you.